with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing. And I am so happy I have a Nat Geo book. And I'm always happy when I have a Nat Geo book. So I'm so happy to welcome to Joy on Paper, Christina Sauer. I hope I'm pronouncing her name right. I don't know. She will tell me. Hi, Christina.
Hello, and yes, you do have my name right. Thanks so much for having me here.
Oh, it's always so exciting for me to have someone from Nat Geo. I love you all. I was pretty sure it was pronounced sour, although I knew you would be so sweet.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Yeah, it's one of those weird ones with a bunch of vowels in it, so it's the only spelling you'll find in a sours and sauerkraut. So,
that's
you know how to spell that. That's as close as you get.
Yeah. Well, again, it's just wonderful to have you. And today we're talking about, you know, this is one of my favorite times of the year because you guys come out with the almanac for the year 2024. My goodness, can you believe that's already... it seems like, you know, we were 1999 wasn't so long ago.
Oh my gosh, every time we come out with these books, I'm like, wait, when did we get to the 2020s? It just feels like a blur.
It does. Of course, I've spoken to so many Nat Geo authors, photographers, editors, and it is always a thrill. And where do you fall? Are you the editor?
I am an editor. I have a wonderful team surrounding me of authors and photo editors and designers, but I get... the pure joy of seeing the book come to life from early outline all the way to when it's released into the world. So it's quite a fun job.
Oh, I know. And I love that you did use the term pure joy because that's what I'm all about here. And you're right. This book is pure joy. And I always say nowadays that people always tell their kids, grow up to be a doctor or a lawyer. But boy, oh boy, if I was going to have more kids, I'd say, grow up to work for Nat Geo, because not only you're working, but you're having fun.
Oh, it's so true, and you feel like you have a mission behind everything you do, and I swear, every day I learn something new here. We have so many different sciences informing us and explorers, research coming in, that I feel like today I'm going to learn about dinosaurs, tomorrow it might be the deep sea. It's a really great place. And, I mean, we love to share whatever we've gathered throughout the year and found out with kids and empower them so that maybe they're going to be the next explorer or the next editor. You never know.
Well, not just with kids, because everybody up to 120 will love this book. It is, of course, 500 photographs from Nat Geo, and we're talking the best photographs in the world. And every time I find things that I didn't know, and I love it, like, what is a patamelon? I never heard of that one. I never even saw that word. A young red-legged patamelon stays in mom's pouch for its first 6 months of life. Woo! I thought that was so cool. I have to go to Australia.
I want to go to Australia, too. We love adding these animals in, or even dispelling some of the myths about common animals that you find, like the fact that are elephants afraid of mice? And we say, no, actually, they're not. They have their vision is so blurry that they wouldn't even be able to see a little mouse. But it's just a common myth that we have. We also include, if you like the patamelon, you have to check out the section on our quokkas. They are the happiest animal on the planet because they just have the cutest expression on their face. And we literally just do a whole spread filled with photos. So kids are like, oh my gosh, they're so cute. I want to learn more.
I know. And they are... well, they're adorable. There's so many things. I've told the other editors at Nat Geo that really your magazines changed my life because I grew up in northern Michigan where we had long winters with lots of snow. And when we got those magazines, it was like sunshine just pouring in. And we spent hours and hours reading those magazines. And that's why I became a world traveler. So I owe so much to Nat Geo. And I can tell you, the other kids in my town, we did not share our Nat Geo books, by the way. I'm sorry. But but you couldn't, because you wouldn't get them back. I'm very grateful to you. And so that's why I love this. And this is really, I'm telling everybody, get this book for every kid in your life, because you don't really want to share it, but also for all the adults, if you have anybody, a senior in a senior's home, send this book, because it is hours of fun, just pure fun.
April, and your story is such an inspiration to me, because that's honestly what we try to do with this book. We broke it down into 12 chapters on everything from what do we think is coming up in 2024 that's really relevant. We call it Your World, and talk about everything from like the cool events, like the Summer Olympics that we'll see next year, to a Taco Tuesday up on the International Space Station. But we also break it down into subjects that every kid and adult, or any age, honestly, would be interested in. So from learning about the environment, and we have this kids versus plastic, breaking down what is this issue with plastic, and why is it such a problem? Because many kids don't realize that plastic can exist all the time. We only really saw its popularity and creation during World War II times. To space and Earth, and what's happening out in space, and what are these beautiful images that they're coming back from James Webb? We talk about exploration, and we feature explorers and talk about when they were children. What inspired them to become who they are today? Because they didn't think, just like you and I, when we're sitting there reading our magazines and our books, going, oh, I could never do that. And he said, yeah, you can. I just had a fascination with bugs, and that's where I got to be an entomologist in the rainforest. So we really just focus on every subject that one, teachers and parents want their kids to get invested in, because it is part of the curriculum too. But we do it in such a way that you never feel like you're really learning. You're just having fun and learning fun facts, or learning fun facts through jokes or tongue twisters.
Oh, I love the jokes. I love the jokes. I love all the little quizzes. It just makes it so much fun. And as a homeschool mom, I always use Nat Geo books, to get them enthusiastic. And it was funny. One of the things that I like to do is to teach them art. I said I would give them a photo from the magazine. I'd say, here, now draw it or paint it. And they became little artists at a very young age because they would copy the beautiful photographs from Nat Geo books.
Well, that opens up, if you're a homeschool mom, you're going to love our section on our almanac challenge. Every year, we love to do this challenge where we ask kids to do exactly what you're already doing with them. We ask them, we give them a prompt, and this year we talk about our elephant Instagram stories. So there's an amazing woman. She's out studying the behavior of elephants. She's from Mozambique, and basically, her name is Dominique Gonclaves. And we ask, okay, so what if you were that researcher? You know, what if an elephant had social media? What do you think the elephant would say? How would you raise awareness? And what would you want to share with friends and followers? And not only do we start their creative juices flowing, being like, okay, pretend you're an editor or a photographer or an illustrator, but also create this and then submit it. And we actually feature the winners every year in the almanac for the following year. So we'll have the winner of this elephant social media profile next year in the almanac. But we also will do it in our magazine. So you get to be a published illustrator, author, designer as a kid.
Well, this is the spirit of Nat Geo, the spirit of really encouraging people to think, to wander, and to wonder. You know that you have it both ways. You get a Nat Geo magazine, a book, and you're looking at the photographs, for example, of the animals, and just the one, I love the one of the camels laughing. I thought that was, that's so good. And you just sit there for a minute and you're thinking, do they laugh? I mean, what's so funny? You know, and so you're wondering, and then you decide, well, you know, maybe I should go somewhere and see some camels. So you start wandering. Yeah. It's all there in a Nat Geo book. And in this one, well, I love, you know, I've spoken to so many of the authors. Carlton Ward was on not too long ago because he did this wonderful book about the Florida panther. And, you know, I'm here in Florida, so I was interested in that. But there is one explorer. I got such a kick out of this guy's story. And you have these explorer stories and also about their epic fails. So...
Yeah.
I got such a kick. I would love to meet Maurice Onyango. And he's got this photograph, and he starts off, it's a photograph of a snake, a deadly snake, one of those deadly snakes, and he starts off by saying, I'm terrified of snakes.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, Maurice, I want to hear your story.
Well, and we make it relatable, too. I think sometimes we tend to think of scientists or explorers or the people doing them, or even writers, as these individuals who are so far beyond ourselves, and they're always perfect. And we kind of admit science isn't perfect. It's always evolving and changing, and people make mistakes, but that's the beauty of it. Like, to quote Miss Frizzle, right? Like, make mistakes, get messy. Like, that's kind of what this is, and so kids get to see that nothing is ever perfect. You can laugh alongside and go on these journeys with them as they're doing their research in the field and meet a snake that they're deadly terrified of.
I thought that was so funny. Of all the things, you know, when you're afraid of snakes, to go out there, and he took 500 photos of them. Partly because his hands were shaking so much. It's a lovely story. Now, as the editor, I do feel that it's very important. An editor should actually know about what they're putting in a book. So did you actually eat some of the food that that is mentioned in this book? Now, I wouldn't mind eating the marzipan pig that's traditional to Germany. But what about, did you get a sample of French fry flavored soda in Japan?
Okay, that's one that I actually really want to try. As soon as we start putting in these facts, I was like, ooh, what does that taste? Is it salty? Is it, so there's a part of me, like you said, now just wants to go visit Japan so I can try this French fry soda. Although I may not try the deep fried tarantulas in Cambodia. I think there are braver souls than I am. But I can barely look at a picture of a tarantula, let alone try to put it in my mouth.
Well, you're very much like my brother. I terrified him when he was a child. I took him to a movie called Tarantula, and he had a bit of a breakdown. He started screaming. They kicked us out of the theater. He was screaming all the way out until we got near a bakery, and I bought him a donut and shoved it in his mouth. And that's, I'm thinking of sending him this book just so he turns to that page. But the one that I would try and I would love, this, they could have this vending machine right here in the studio. As a matter of fact, I'm going to suggest to the owner that she puts a vending machine here, because what they do in Singapore is, I mean, this is my dream vending machine, frozen Norwegian salmon.
Oh.
Now that...
Are you a big salmon?
I love salmon.
Lovely.
I love frozen Norwegian. So that's a good one. So all of these fun things that are in here, people will get such a kick out of it. I'm glad that I don't think the royal family serves swan anymore.
No, definitely not, thankfully. But it is fun to learn about and see what was eaten in the past. What are we eating today? What do I want to try? Because sometimes, you know, you don't get as much exposure in the area you live in of these different foods, and it might inspire you. Who knows, maybe there's a budding chef out there who goes, ooh, I need to go travel that country and try this.
Yeah, exactly. So what are some of the things that you found the most surprising that you had no idea about until somebody brought it to you?
You know, honestly, in this whole book, my favorite section is always in the amazing animals, the dino section. I mean, who doesn't love a good dinosaur story? But I don't think I quite grasped how rapidly changing paleontology or the study of dinosaurs is. I always thought, oh, you know, they're really old. We'll discover new ones. But there can't be that much research and that much turnover every time. And I am always amazed. Every year, we have a section of newly discovered dinos. And this year, we have four. So we not only discovered four, but now we have new names for them. We talk about how big they were, and we have illustrations, and we think there are so many differences in what we thought. Some of them are now semi-aquatic or live sometime on land, sometimes in the water, that we thought were purely water animals, and we explain why. So for me, that's always the thing that surprises me the most, because I keep thinking there's no way we're going to discover a whole new species. And then we do.
And then you do, exactly. Well, this little golden snub-nosed monkey, I never saw that, and I thought, oh, what, that, it looks like a toy. It doesn't look real.
Oh, yes, and did you read the Deadly Cuties section, too, on the lorries, who are the most venomous primate in the world, but they're so adorable, you just want to snuggle with them?
Oh, every page is just delightful. And the praying mantis, that photograph, how a photographer was so patient to get that exactly at the right time. That praying mantis looks exactly like a bishop. I mean, so dignified.
Well, we have some amazing photo editors who call through all of the photos that are in the world, and especially from our explorers. And we really try to get ones that are, exactly to your point, very engaging, and you feel like you're right there, or they look very regal. Even our cover of our wolf, I'm making eye contact with me, where you're like, I cannot help but pick up this book because I feel like it's drawing me in.
Oh, it is. It's a beautiful cover. It's always great covers, but I love this cover. Of course, for Florida, we are very happy with the pink power flamingos, because our airport now has this gigantic flamingo to welcome everybody to Tampa. And those are beautiful.
Oh, I had no idea. Aren't they great? And the fact that they get their pink coloring from the food that they eat, they're not just naturally pink.
It's fantastic. I also love the one, again, because of Florida, the name of hurricanes that are coming up for 2024. And I noticed that they have, for P, they have Patty, P-A-T-T-Y. And
oh, my goodness.
Yes, but really, somebody has to send in my name. and say, well, Patsy would be a more, you know, that'd be a really outstanding name for a hurricane.
I think you should.
Yeah.
I think in 6 years from now, that should be the one that fills the P slot.
Yeah, because there's nobody else named Patsy, as far as I can discover. And I'm waiting, the first author who names their baby Patsy will get a prize.
So, I love that.
Yeah, well, you know, my name is Patsy with a Z. It's very unusual, and of course, Jimmy Hoffa gave me that name, so not too many people actually ever sat on Jimmy Hoffa's knee, but I'm hoping, you know, maybe I will be a hurricane. You're right, you know, when you think about it, we went through the pandemic-y years, and we didn't know, we got all sort of confused.
Oh, I feel like my world's turned its head upside down, and it's funny because these books are quick in production, because we want to make sure that we update everything so that it's really relevant for the year it comes out. So honestly, we're already working on 2025 now. And it's kind of surreal thinking, wow, what's the world going to be like 2 years from now?
Exactly. Well, it's going to be filled with wonderful photographs, because all of your people are out there constantly, you know, taking this. They have to be so patient sometimes. They have to wait so patiently to get just that right shot. But they do. And it's just always so exciting to be able to talk to both the explorers and the editors, because I know that you're having fun. Of course, the section about planets, I love that. I've always loved astronomy, so I went right to that section. And rocks, I just think that's such a great section.
The beauty of this book for parents and kids and librarians is that each chapter, the book doesn't need to be read cover to cover. A kid could choose what their favorite, or adult could choose their favorite subject and go right into it and learn some of the basics. Like you said, there are things in there that we don't update quite as often. We'll update the design, but, you know, rocks and minerals don't change that much from year to year. We still have igneous, metamorphic, and sedimentary. We explain what those are. But then we throw in like our space and earth section, you know, questions that kids are asking parents or themselves, like, what would happen if the sun disappeared? And then we answer it. So it really touches on like child's curiosity, what they're thinking about day to day, and then also supplementing it with that foundational knowledge of a specific area of science.
Well, I love the fill in the blanks. I thought that was great. I love where the letters are mixed up and people have to, you know, get them in the right order. It's just all these little things that make this book so much fun. Of course, now summertime for children, it's so important that you get them to read during the summer. Once you read the almanac and a kid finds a particular interest, if they're interested in, whether they're interested in animals, then you can move on to the animal books that Nat Geo has, or if they're interested in science. There's so many scientific books. I love all the recent books that you've had about space travel and astronauts, but there's a book for every interest. One of the things that I do, I like to send books to children's hospitals. This book is a perfect book to send to a child in a hospital. You know, you don't have to know a kid in the hospital. Just contact your local children's hospital or Shriners or St. Jude. Get their address and you can just mail it directly to the hospital. This will give hours of fun to a kid in a hospital.
Oh, it's so true. And this is the perfect book, like you said, for those road trips or sitting by the pool during the summer, because we not only have all these fun, engaging stories, each story is only 1 to 2 pages long. So as soon as you've read that, you have a new subject that you turn to. But we also have a really fun section that kids can engage with each other and their parents or their older siblings called Laugh Out Loud. And you have games and tongue twisters and jokes that you're going to love and crack up and make that time pass by if you're in a car or sitting by a campfire. So highly recommend sending this to anyone who just needs a good, like we said earlier, sense of joy in their lives.
Exactly. And this is a wonderful way for them to perhaps talk to their grandparents. You can still do Zoom calls, which are wonderful ways to get kids to explain what they're reading to their grandparents and have these jokes and have these fun things. So there's so many things that a Nat Geo book gives to you anyway, but the Almanac is really special. So the Almanac 2024, wow, it's a fantastic book. And Christina, I think you're, you know, a very lucky person. And I want to thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper. I know you're going to have a fun day because you're at Nat Geo.
Well, thank you so much for having me. And yes, you can find this book wherever your favorite books are sold, whether it's online or in bookstores. And again, so excited to be on the show and to share. I love your enthusiasm for this book because that is the enthusiasm we put into this book.
And I want to remind everybody, go to Nat Geo Kids website because they have more photographs, they have videos, they have all sorts of stuff. That is one of the best websites ever for children.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.